Hey, welcome to the Foundry Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to hear future messages. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this message today.
All right. Well, you guys, it's time for a Mother's Day message now. And so I'm gonna bring a Mother's Day message different than any Mother's Day message I have ever preached. And what on earth would that be? How would that be different? By the way, let's all acknowledge it's warm in here. It's because there's a lot of 98 degree heaters piled in here, and we have no control over. Why don't we build a building where we can control our air conditioner? Wouldn't that be amazing? Let's do that. Yeah, we'll do that. Now you guys are going to applaud. By the way, in regards to the building, we are going to have some very awesome and specific news in a week or two. But things are looking good towards a June groundbreaking. So we will be announcing that for sure, and announcing a on-site groundbreaking service. All of that will be forthcoming, but we're pretty excited about what God's doing there. All right, so how's the message different? Well, a lot of times in Mother's Day, we find a mom in the Bible, and she's a model, and we can draw principles from her life, like Hannah, who dedicated Samuel, or like Hagar, who God saw, or like Ruth, who stayed with her mother-in-law. And there's all these wonderful examples of being a good mom. There's the Proverbs 31 woman, who's just like the all-star. And oftentimes the encouragement is, you know, be this kind of mom. And that's all great. And that's one of the ways that we can allow the Bible to speak to us on key days. But this morning is really about how the rest of us can honor moms. Because after all, that's what Mother's Day is about. So this morning's message, which, by the way, because of all we've done, is shorter than normal, because we do have baptisms after this that we'll be announcing, that's going to be very cool. But so shorter message, but we're going to focus on how do we honor mom? How do you honor mom? Now, of course, some of you moms are, you have moms that you want to honor, but the focus is on what does the Bible say about how we're to honor our mothers, all right? So we're going to start with this. Number one is we should remember it is one of the big 10. It is one of the 10 commandments that the Lord gave his people on Mount Sinai. And it doesn't just specify mom, it's mom and dad, but it says honor your father and your mother so that you may live long lives in the land the Lord your God is giving you. One of the 10 commandments. It's that important to the Lord that we, this morning, we're focusing on moms, that we honor our moms. And that word honor is a word that we see all through the Bible. It is the word kabod, and we've saw it in our story of Samuel. It means heavy or weighty. Now, you want to be careful here. You don't want to refer to mom as a heavyweight. That might be offensive. But in terms of her, you know what it means to put weight on something. It means this is somebody who's important and valuable and worthy of great respect and great dignity and love. They're a weighty person in your life. And all of us know that our moms are a huge presence in our life, all as we grow. And so honoring her is recognizing that presence. It's recognizing that she has played an incredible role, and there's a weightiness to her importance in our life. And so that's the basis of everything else that we're going to talk about is one of the commandments, the sixth commandment, honor your father and mother. And there's a promise, you'll live long. Take it for what it is. Number two is this. If you're a kid, we got some kids in here. If you're a kid, honoring your mother is about obeying her. Not entirely, that's not all it is, but if you're a kid, to honor your mother would be to obey her. And by the way, one of the things that this message does is it helps us dads in the home make sure mom gets honored. So sometimes a dad sees that a child isn't obeying mom, and guess what a dad gets to do? Step in and say, no, we obey mom. You do what your mother says to do. So, but the scripture in Ephesians 6 quotes our other passage from Exodus, quotes the sixth commandment. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." And so there it is. For kids, there's a connection between obey and honor. How do you honor? You obey, and you're respectful in your obedience. And so this is something, obviously, that moms and dads have to train and to cultivate. But if you're a kid in here and you happen to be old enough to be in the service, then the Lord can speak to you right now in this moment and remind you, you know what, I need to obey my mom. And this, of course, is all through the Bible. We have the example of Jesus. And I love this story because Jesus was 12 years old. Now, 12-year-olds, when it comes to obeying mom and dad, sometimes they think that they've outgrown that a little bit. But we're going to see a different example in Jesus. So I love this story, too, because you can see that Joseph and Mary were normal parents who didn't always do the right thing. They weren't always on top of it. And in this case, they lost their kid. So this is in Luke chapter 2. It said, "Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him." Parents, you ever lost your kid? It's a panic. They are feeling panic right now. So after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them. And look at this. And he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. So if you ever do disobey your parents and say, "Well, didn't you know I had to do such and such?" It's not gonna work. Like, Jesus legitimately is the Son of God, and his Father is God the Father, and Jesus is tapping into what Mary and Joseph had been told by the angel at his birth and had probably observed throughout his life, that he is a different child. And here he is in the temple teaching all of the religious leaders, and people are jaws just dropping, like, how does this kid know all this? But the point that we're making this morning is, when Jesus, he's very respectful to them, and then it says when he returns, he lives in obedience to his parents as a 12-year-old boy. So mom and dad, don't take anything less from your kids, and it's a battle. And if you're a kid here, know the Lord will reward you, and you will benefit greatly by living in obedience to your parents. And I can't even begin to articulate all the ways your life will be blessed if you will just simply learn to obey. So that's number two. If you're a kid, obey. What about if you're an adult? Well, if you're an adult, care for her. How do you honor your mother as an adult? You care for her. Now, that's a broad term, care for her. Many times in the scriptures, we're going to see, it's speaking of make sure that her material needs are met, that her financial needs are met. But I think probably it would also include relational needs. And anything else that crops up, is we're just going to make sure mom gets cared for. 1 Timothy 5 says this: "Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So it's a big deal to take care of your family. and to make sure that the needs of your relatives aren't going unmet. The family is meant to be the first line of defense against poverty, against needs going unmet. And so that's really where we see the safety net for within society is the nuclear family. And so, you know, if you're an adult, just keeping an eye out and make sure that your mom is well taken care of. Jesus deals with this with the Pharisees in Matthew 15. He says, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God? For the sake of your tradition. For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, or some translations say is korban, it means it's devoted to God, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. And so what Jesus is dealing with is that the religious leaders, they would be like, well, I'm not helping my parents because I've dedicated this money to God. And Jesus' point is that you're literally ignoring one of the Ten Commandments by saying that supposedly your money is dedicated to God while your parents have needs. No, you honor God. In a sense, you're giving to the Lord by making sure that the material needs of your mom and your dad, if they're together, that they're being met. Timothy, Paul gives Timothy instruction when taking care of the widows. And he says this, and this is a big deal in our culture, because a lot of us have elderly mothers, and maybe they live alone, and maybe you're a distance from them, and it gets complicated, and the answers aren't always easy. But what we're simply doing is saying, you know what, as followers of Jesus, we know the scriptures crystal clear. We're to make sure that we're caring for our mothers. And so Paul gives these instructions. He says, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Which is why I've told our kids, listen, you are our retirement program. Like, just get ready. We're moving in when the time comes right. So kids and grandkids, this is how we repay our parents, because they worked hard all their life and cared for us. And so sometimes there's a time where we just really gotta wrestle with how do we make sure we're meeting the needs and caring for. I got to see this kind of up close and personal with my parents when my dad's mom, my grandma Bonnie, was old. My grandpa had passed away, and my grandma had dementia. And her dementia got really, really bad. Like, I mean, you've heard the phrase, once a man or once a woman, twice a child. It was like caring for a child. Everything that you had to do for a child, they had to do for her in her final years. But my parents had bought a house that was catty corner from my grandparents to be close to them. Literally, they could walk over and care for them. And eventually, they just had to move my grandma into the house. But for the last couple of years, they brought her into their home, and they made it their livelihood, essentially, to take care of my grandma. And if you've ever cared for somebody that's has dementia and that's very old and that literally you have to spoon feed, it is like a full-time job. And so you're wise to get outside help as well. But they were shouldering the brunt of it. And it was, I got to watch my parents honor my grandma in her old age after she literally could do nothing for herself. And that is a testimony to the world. When we don't just delegate that I'm not saying you can't get some outside help. You can. And you need to be able to have balance in your life. But saying, I'm going to make sure primarily, and that the relationship, that I'm able to relate to them and not just let other people relate to them in loving ways. So caring for our moms in our adult years is a significant way that we honor. And again, I don't want to minimize the complexity of this, because I know a lot of you, you're at a distance, and it's complicated, right? If you want advice, I would point you to one of our new deacon couples, Doug and Valia Breuer, who are right there, because they took care of Valia's mom in the most amazing way. They literally moved there, lived with her for a year, then brought her, and she spent her final months here in Castle Rock living in their home. But I mean, you just do what it takes. It's complicated. I don't know the answers to all the questions. You got to wrestle through that. But what we want to do at a baseline is say, you know what, I'm going to honor, and it's going to be inconvenient, and it's going to cost me, but it's worth it. Because it's just the right thing to do to honor our moms, all right? So if we're old, care for her. And by the way, there's an example that Jesus gives literally while he's on the cross. While Jesus is on the cross, he's caring for his mother. Some of you are familiar with this in John 19. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Isn't that amazing? So John, the beloved disciple. Now, why didn't Jesus' brothers? Because Jesus' brother is James. James is one of the brothers of Jesus. Most scholars believe that at this point, Jesus' brothers were still unbelieving that he was actually the Messiah. And Jesus' closest friend, his brother, not biologically, but his brother in the Lord, John the Beloved, is there. And so Jesus on the cross, taking upon himself the weight of the world's sin and the separation from God the Father, looks down and he sees his mom, and he's got the presence of mind in that moment to say, John, look, I want you to care for my mom. Mom, I want you to treat John as your son. And from that time on, he took care of her. He lived with her. So it's a big deal. Honor our moms to the very end by caring for them in whatever way we can. Here's number four. Thank her and acknowledge all she does. Thank her. This is biblical, not just smart. But biblical. It's smart, because when you say thank you and you show appreciation, people tend to want to continue doing the things that they're doing. But if there's no appreciation, boy, it can really be sort of demoralizing. But look at Proverbs 31. This is at the end of this Proverbs 31 woman who, I mean, she's working night and day. She's running a business. She's making clothes for her kids. She's cooking homemade sour bread. She's working the homeschooling co-op. She's amazing. She stays up late. She gets up early. And at the end of it, it says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And then it says in verse 31, honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her words bring her praise at the city gate. So I think we ought to note here, at the end of this Proverbs 31 woman, it says that there's two types of people that honor her and praise her. It's her kids and it's her husband. So I want to challenge you husbands. Here's a rookie mistake for a husband. And sometimes I see it in older husbands and I'm like, oh, brother, let me take you aside and give you some wisdom. If you say on Mother's Day, well, she's not my mom, I'm going to honor my mom, but she's my wife. That's my kids. No, listen. She is the mother of your children. She is the mother of your home. You honor her. You thank her. You praise her. You acknowledge her. By the way, that's how your kids, when they're little bitty, know to honor mom on Mother's Day, because dad is leading the way. Kids, it's Mother's Day. Let's write a card for your mom. Kids, it's Mother's Day. We're going to go pick out some flowers, and you guys are going to give them to her. And you train them so that when they're older, they learn. They're being trained by dad. But dad, husband, you set the tone in your home to honor mom. Your kids will honor her as they see you honor her. And likewise, if you show a lack of thankfulness or a lack of respect, kids pick up on that. So husbands, lead the way. Motherhood is a thankless job. Motherhood really is a thankless job, unless, of course, we're conscientious about thanking her. Moms are so often taken for granted. Husbands and kids get used to all she does, and we even come to sort of expect it, right? I mean, it's just normal life. There's a meal on the table. The laundry's done. You know, whatever the shared task, it's just like we just sort of expect it. And a sure sign that this is happening is when we fail to simply say, thank you, Mom, or thank you, honey. Just saying it goes a long ways. So I thought, well, what are some things that let's just prime the pump a little bit. Here's some statements that you might be able to say. Thanks for dinner, Mom. That was delicious. Thanks for all the grocery shopping you did, honey. Do you know that food doesn't magically appear in your refrigerator? And do you know that grocery shopping is work? Right. So thanks for all the grocery shopping. Thanks for picking me up from practice, Mom. She doesn't have to pick you up from practice. She could let you walk. She could. But thanks for picking me up, Mom. Thanks for the clean laundry, dear. Thanks for helping with my homework, Mom. The house looks great, honey. Thank you for all the cleaning you did. Now, this list isn't to suggest that all wives do is clean and cook and shop, okay? Thanks for the income that you brought in this month, honey. Wow, we're knocking our debt out. We're putting money in savings. Thank you for balancing work and all the responsibilities of home. Thank you for helping me remember the stuff that I got to do, because I have a honey list. You can thank her for the honey list that you're working on, the honey-do list. But you get the idea. I mean, there's a lot to be said for just saying thank you on a regular basis, okay? So thank and acknowledge her. Let the work of her hands bring her praise. Write notes. Send text messages, whatever. Number 5, listen to her counsel. This is biblical. Proverbs 23, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. So it's kind of coupled together. Don't think little of her when she's old. She's had a lifetime of experience and wisdom. It doesn't mean that you always have to follow the advice of your mom as an adult. You don't. But you're wise if you're just open to it and listen and don't just discount it like, oh, she's from a different generation. She doesn't know what I'm facing. Well, life is life and people are people. So just consider that God might want to give you wisdom through the lips of your beloved mother. Proverbs 1, 8, and 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Proverbs 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man of a father, a wise son, rejoices. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave birth to you be joyful. So it's an interesting connection. You know, one of the ways that you bring your mother joy is when you're little, by obeying and doing what you're asked to do and being a good person, right? And having good character. And as you get older, that's one of the ways that we honor our parents is we live with wisdom. We live with the wisdom of the Scripture. If that's the way, especially when we've been brought up to know the Scripture, it's probably the greatest gift you can give your elderly parents. is for them, if they raise you to know the Lord, is for them to see you walking in the ways of the Lord. And of course, that's not why we do it, but it's one of the benefits of it. So listen to her counsel. And then here's the final one. You might need to forgive her. You might need to forgive her. In fact, it may be that everything I've talked about so far has sort of bounced off your heart. And it hasn't even really hit you because you have wounds and you have hurt in your life because moms aren't perfect and moms make mistakes. And the best mom, there will be some type of hurt, right? That's life. If you're in relationship with people, you have to learn to forgive them. And so it is with our moms, is that we need to sometimes forgive them. And of course, this is a basic Christian virtue. And it's magnified in our closest relationships. What do I mean by that? Well, look at the verse. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So we're supposed to forgive each other just as Christ forgave us. Jesus is the model of forgiveness. And Jesus forgives over and over and over again, does he not? And so, in fact, the Bible says there's a connection. He says, if you're unwilling to forgive your brother or sister, then God will not forgive you. You can't close your heart down like that. And so, the scripture says we're to forgive each other in a church family, in a small group. And then the closer relationships you have, the more that forgiveness thing becomes really, really important. So husbands and wives have to live with a heart that forgives one another, because you're going to hurt one another. And it's same thing with moms and dads. And so, you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, it describes love, right? So for us to say, I love my mom. Like, no one would say, I don't love my mom. Like, moms are to be loved, right? Every one of us would say, of course I love my mom. Well, what that means is that I'm not going to keep a record of wrongs. Because look at how love is described in our Bible in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And it might be that you've kept a record of wrongs against your mom. And it might be that now is the time to say, I'm done with that. I'm letting that go. And maybe there needs to be a conversation, or maybe she doesn't even know that that's there, and it's just something that you need to deal with the Lord. But releasing them, and what happens when we forgive people is it sort of unlocks the prison door that we have locked ourselves in. See, unforgiveness puts you in prison. It imprisons the one that refuses to forgive. And so freedom comes when we are willing to forgive others. And you never know how God is going to cause the relationship to blossom. Now, it may not. It may be that you forgive her and that 2 weeks later she says something on the phone that hurts your feelings again. And you know what you do? You forgive again. And you keep pressing into the relationship. And you forgive. And then Peter says, well, how many times, Lord, should I forgive? And Jesus, 7 times? Is that enough? And Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. Like, you forgive. There's no end to the number of times you'll forgive. And this doesn't mean you don't need boundaries in your life and things like that. But sometimes people use boundaries as an excuse not to really forgive. They're like, well, I can't really be in a relationship with my mom because she doesn't have boundaries. Well, like, how do you honor her if you're not in a relationship with her? You have to have a relationship with her. You have to talk to her. You have to be kind to her. You have to try to socialize with her and laugh with her and do some life with her. You can't just shut her out and say, there's my mom, I'm honoring her, without a relationship. So forgive. And I'm not saying this is easy, just like none of these are easy, right? That's why there are the Ten Commandments. That's why Jesus, the Lord gave the Ten Commandments. Like, these are pivotal for society. Like, this great nation that I'm forming, one of the pillars of them staying near me as their God and following the way and having healthy relationships is you got to honor mom and dad. And so with that, we better pray and ask the Lord to help us honor our mother and our father. We'll talk about that on Father's Day. Lord, thank you. As our band comes up, yeah, you guys come on up. Thank you, Lord, for our moms. Thank you for every mom here. Lord, help us. Forgive us for when we take our moms for granted, when we don't acknowledge all that they do and who they are, Lord. I pray that we would be people, we would be a community of people that, man, moms are honored. From the newest mom with a child in her womb, not having yet been delivered, to the oldest grandmother here, Lord, we pray that every mom would be honored this morning, would feel honored. And Lord, may we not just honor our moms on Mother's Day, but Lord, every day, may we live lives, Lord, that honor our moms. Thank you, Jesus, that you provided us such an amazing example. Lord, where our mothers are old and we need to care for them, give us wisdom to navigate the complexities of life and schedule and finances. And Lord, just help us, though, to take the command seriously and to live it out. Thank you, Lord, for every mother here. May they feel your loving embrace this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And if you did, make sure to share it and subscribe so that we can get you all of these new messages as soon as they're available. I also want to take a moment and thank all of you who are a part of Foundry. Whether you support us financially, or serve with us, or just share these messages, it's because of you that we're able to make a difference. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.